Yeah, because you still think those things are possible. If you still think abuse and betrayal are possible, then you have to go through abusive and betrayal situations in order to see that the self that you are cannot be abused and cannot be betrayed. That definitely will require. Now, this is what Jesus says. This is the message of the resurrection that Lori just read. He's saying by the world standards, I was abused, I was betrayed, I was beat up, but I didn't believe that because I know who I am. And he's also saying that was the last crucifixion anyone needed to learn the lesson if you decide to utilize the mind of Christ that Jesus is offering to us. And if you decide, she just read that. If you can generalize the one lesson, you no longer have to learn through little lessons. And if you generalize that one lesson, you live in the resurrection. If you're living in the resurrection, how could you possibly be betrayed or abused? It's not possible. And if you're true in your own heart and mind to living to the resurrection, then you will never bring situation. It's like you can't cheat an honest man. How can you cheat an honest man? It's not possible. It's simply not possible to cheat an honest man. Because he wouldn't recognize the ability to be cheated. Now, so what I'm saying is, as we learn the lessons, we elevate ourselves up out of the situations. And this is how we eventually bring about the end of dreaming. We no longer need the conditions of dreaming to awaken, because once we awaken, the dream is gone, and awakening precludes dreaming. So once you learn that you cannot be abused and you cannot be betrayed, you no longer need the classrooms of abuse and betrayal in order to understand who you really are. I can see it, but I knew I'm not able to teach it to people who still believe they can be abused and betrayed. They still need a lesson in abuse and betrayal, and this is where gratitude for your brother comes in. You have to be grateful for the lessons that are being brought to you, even of abuse, because if you're afraid of the lesson and think your brother can really abuse you, then you're going against your own lesson plan and you're in resistance. That's just the way it is. Because you bring the world with... Oh my God, I can't teach it. I can see it so clearly. You brought the world with you when you came. So you bring all the lessons that you required to learn with you, and you people it with people who help you learn those lessons. Now, tomorrow is a different day. The lessons that we learn today, we no longer bring into the world tomorrow. So tomorrow's a brand new day. It's a brand new world. There's only today. We learn whatever, let today's evil be sufficient unto itself, and we learn all the lessons that we need to learn today, okay? Now here's a new day. If we've learned those lessons, we no longer need the parameters of events that are required to learn those lessons, and they're snipped out of the equation. So it's really interesting. Now, if you are still feeling like you're abused, then you still need lessons of abuse, and you should be grateful they're brought to you, because if your purpose of your mind is healing, and your mind is clear that the entire day is devoted to healing, then all you're going to see are brothers helping you learn the lessons of healing. You will see past what they are in the form directly to what they are at the core. And when you see that, you're past the necessity to learn from the illusion. I don't know if I'm clear about this. I'm going to play another song, though. It's so clear in my mind. I can see it. That's what vision is. That's what Christ's vision is. And for no one needs to learn those lessons any longer if you decide to accept the fact that you are living in the resurrection. I understand that that requires accepting Jesus fully, exactly as he is. That's the great stumbling block. That's what Jesus says. Listen, I could be much more help to you if you really accept me as a brother. If you just want to think I'm a symbol, or if you just want to think I'm something else, I can't help you. But if you let me be exactly as you are, and you can accept me right here, right now, you will learn the lessons that I learned, so you'll be more advanced than I was, and greater things than I do, will you do? Oh my God, this is so simple. And yet it takes the willingness to accept. Eventually you accept, oh yeah, Jesus is my Savior, what's the big deal? And you stop pretending there's no Jesus or there's no world. Bullshit. Jesus is your Savior. Like it or lump it, your mind has to account for Jesus just like it has to account for everything else in your world. You brought this world with you when you came. You brought Jesus as a resurrected Savior with you when you came. You might as well let him be what he is, accept him as he is, and move on from there. Oh my God. I gotta play some music. Way. Everybody is playing their part to their perfection in the play that you call your world. No sound? There is sound. Yes. Everybody is playing the part they need to play in order for us to have the curtain fall and get a standing ovation. And have it be closing night. In the end, when everybody takes off their costume, it doesn't matter what part they played in the play, everybody is grateful they did a good job. Exactly. Take a bow and get off stage. you thank your brother for playing his part in the play, even if he's playing the part of the denial of Judas. That's what Jesus is saying. Listen, how could I have gone through my own process of resurrecting had Judas not played his part? Now, if Judas forgets that he was playing a part rather than who he actually was in reality, then what the hell? You can't blame Jesus for remembering who everybody was. Am I going to walk over to the Course in Love meeting? I've been reading A Course in Love a little bit. I got to tell you, it's just a reduction. You know, it's like I read that in The Way of Mastery, and all I get is, it's just a reduction with over. It's like over explanatory, and it keeps, you know, it just seems to be a little bit of a reduction. And I understand they talk about the course in love as being the female version, the feminine version of A Course in Miracles, because it introduces the idea of feeling and heart. But come on, man, when you're healing your mind, A Course in Miracles is helping you understand what love is, and you as what love is, because I can't tell you what love is. When I read A Course in Love, all I read is like these concepts that are slightly watered down. It'll get you there, and the truth of the matter is, what gets you there is the willingness to be there and coming into a total moment of willingness by surrendering everything, including the Course of Love. What most people do is, well, you know, I've read A Course in Miracles, now I'm on to the next thing, A Course in Love. No, pick a horse and ride the horse. Pick a horse, ride the horse you're given, ride it to the finish line. When we get to the end, the race is over, and we don't have to do it anymore. That's the benefit of what we're learning in A Course in Miracles. Doesn't matter which horse you ride, just ride the horse you were given to the best of your ability to the end of the race, and when the race is over, it's over and done. There's no more races to run. I don't know how there could be something beyond what the lesson was today. You've been given that you're mind and mind and only mind, created sinless and out of love. You were created as love. What the hell more? What more would you need to learn? What more would there be to realize? That's it. That's right. That's right. What book would you like to deny today? Okay. Okay, I'm done for the day. I'll be back in a couple of hours with the evening meditation. I love you guys. Thanks for putting up with me. Sometimes I get passionate about this stuff because it's so clear in my mind, and I love the idea that we're sharing it.
Thank you so much, Teddy. Yes, I know. I just have to move on and just accept it, you know, and just totally, totally trust. And we do, and I think when we have teachers like you and Regina and everyone else in this room, I think that really helps to keep reminding us that we are all here in love. Okay, now we are going to have our member meeting, so I am going to turn this mic over to Jacqueline. Here you go.
Thanks, Lynn. Yeah, Teddy sounded like he was on fire. Okay, can you guys hear me? Well, you can stick around and heckle me. There's plenty to heckle here. So, okay. All right. Hi, everybody. We are here for our monthly, or actually we've gone to quarterly member meetings. So we're here for our quarterly member meeting. Regina is still in China, as far as I know. She's still in China. she asked me to do the meeting tonight as vice president. I stepped right up and agreed to do the meeting. So we've got three things that we want to talk about tonight. We've got the elections. We're in the middle of our elections. We've got the retreat center campaign, and then we want to talk about our fall retreat in October in Colorado Springs. So if you guys, if you want to heckle me, whatever it is, raise your hand, grab the mic, we'll just we'll go forward like that. So okay, so let's look at the trustee elections. So as you know, each summer so far of our existence, we have had elections to nominate and elect members to join the thanks for the G-rated reminder. I hope I didn't say anything. It's not G-rated, but maybe I did. So anyway, so we're going to elect three more people to the member board of trustees. We currently have, you know, I prepared for this meeting, and I just don't have the information in front of me. I can tell you, let's see, we've got myself, Jay McCormick, Lynn Johnson, Ken Gibson, Teddy Poppy, my husband, Tom Conway, Regina. These are the current member board trustee members. David Hemphill recently resigned, as did Nikki Dobson. It looks to me like we've currently got 7 people on the board. Our bylaws permit us to have anywhere from 5 to 12 trustees. So this year we are electing 3 new members to the board of trustees, and we are right in the middle of that process. In fact, our nominations opened on May 25th. They're closing tomorrow, June the 8th. But let's talk for a minute about what the Board of Trustees does. And basically, when we created Awakening Together, we created a 2-tiered board. So we have our Board of Directors and our Member Board of Trustees. And basically, the Board of Directors has the overall managing authority for the organization. You know, they have the power of the yay and nay, and by and large, the power of the purse. And the member board trustees, really manage the day-to-day operations of the organization. So we come up with good ideas, or we listen to the good ideas from the membership, and we try to implement these ideas, and we go to the board for final approval. We go to the board to say, will you approve the funds? The board of directors is basically designed to give that top level management and to keep us in line with our core values and purposes, while the trustees are more the hands-on folks. And we are meeting, currently we're meeting the first and third Monday of each month. We meet from 7:30 to 9 p.m. on the first and third Monday of each month. And according to the bylaws, we're supposed to meet monthly, but for the first 2 years of our existence, there's just been so much to do that we have met more frequently. At some point, I assume we will go to monthly meetings. Hang on, I can't talk and read at the same time. They can't have the money unless we give it to them. So who's really in control of the purse strings here? Well, it's a joint venture. I have found the board of directors, and I know Regina has as well, found the board of directors to be very agreeable. But that's the way it's set up. But those are the guys that, you know, we prepare the reports and we say, here's the funds that came in, here's the proposal for what we'd like the budget to look like for the next year, and then the board, you know, will ask questions based on that. So they're the final authority, the board of directors. But the elections that are going on right now are for the trustees. So the nominations, again, opened on May the 25th and closed tomorrow. Right now, let me just look and see what that page looks like, if I can find it. I have too many pages open up here. Let me look at the current nominees. We have, I think, three people currently nominated. Sonia Spann, Sandy Ruiz, and Gloria Wells are the current nominations. And the way this is supposed to work is that any member... Yeah, well, I need you sitting next to me here with dual screens. No, dual screens is a good idea. Spawn. Oh, thank you. I don't know. Okay, thank you. I'm not sure. Is that Sonia's last name? Sonia Spawn? Okay. Very good. Yes, Sonia. Okay. Very good. So the way that this is supposed to work is as follows. Any member can nominate another member to the board of trustees. If you want to see who's currently nominated, you can go to http://awakeningtogether.org/members/member-board-of-trustees-nominations-count. Yeah, that's a lot of ways of saying. Or basically, you can go to Awakening Together. I don't know if we have an admin in here who could post that nominations page, but I am not an admin in this room, so I cannot do that. But you can basically go to the Awakening Together site and Oh, yeah, I don't have my split screen, so if you guys are talking to me, I am going to miss it. And there it is. Go to the four members drop-down menu. Go to the bottom of that menu. It says Member Board of Trustees Nominations Count, and that will take you to the page. I'm going to get back since I don't have split screen. There, I'm back. There it is. Thank you very much, Alex, for putting that up. Yes, yeah, and Lynn put up another link as well. But that's where you can see who's been nominated. Now, what's supposed to happen is that these members who've been nominated need 10% of the agreement of the membership to actually make it to the ballot. If they don't get the 10% of the vote, then the membership has basically forfeited their right to elect our next member trustees. So what I'm trying to get you guys to do is go to that site. Go to that site and support, go to that site and support any or all of those people who have been nominated. Because technically these people need 10% of the membership of this organization in order to get on the ballot. If they don't get 10%, then the currently sitting member board trustees are the people who will select the people who will go on the ballot, who the membership can then vote for in order to be on the member trustee board. Now, this sounds very convoluted when I say it out loud. It was very clear in my mind. But I want to know if you guys have any questions about how this is supposed to work. Have all of you voted? Can you guys hear me? Yes, good, you can hear me. Yay. Okay, well, I was going to tell you guys about who could be nominated, and basically who could be nominated is someone who who's been a member for 2 years or who's been a charter member, and the charter member is somebody that joined in the first 3 months. And basically, since we're not quite 2 years old yet, only charter members are eligible to be nominated in this election. And look, it's not too late to nominate people. And so go to that. Oh, good, Barb. I'm so glad you voted. Go to the website and nominate. Yes, that's the link to the charter members. Thank you, Lynn. Pick one of those people that you think would be good in this position to help steer the ship of Awakening Together, and send an email nominating them to the member board of trustees. And do we need three what, Lynn? I'm sorry. Yes, we have three seats that need to be filled. Yes, we have three seats that need to be filled. Now, anybody can nominate somebody. And I'll tell you what we'll do, because it does look like it's a little late in the process for people to be getting 10% of our membership. And I don't know, I meant to ask that question of Jay, and I didn't ask it, but I'm not sure how many members we currently have. I think it's like in around 400 or so, isn't it, Barb? Do you know, Barb? Bye, Hazel. So it's unlikely that any of these people are going to get, frankly, that any of these people are going to get 10% of the vote before the nomination process ends tomorrow. Nonetheless, what we as the trustees will likely do, I know what we did last year, was the first place we looked, there, 491 members. Excellent. Thank you very much, Alex. Yeah, so I doubt that anybody's going to get 49 votes by tomorrow in order to meet that technical requirement to be placed on the ballot. So what we've got is we've got a fallback position where the current trustees on the member board of trustees will nominate people to be placed on the ballot. That that opportunity is also available to the current members on the board of directors. We will have the opportunity to nominate people among ourselves. Then those people will be placed on the ballot, and you guys, the membership, will then vote amongst the people on the ballot to actually be placed on the board, on the member board of trustees. And what we will do is we will look at the people who've been nominated. That's where we will start. So if we go in there and we see several people have said, we really think this is a good person, even though it hasn't met that 10% that's normally required, that we're going to take a real strong look at whoever has been nominated to see if we believe that they would be a good match. If we believe that they would be a good match, then we will suggest that these people be placed on our ballot. We will place them on the ballot, and then you guys will get the final say in July. Each of Awakening Together will have three votes to fill these seats. Absolutely. Yeah, we're not going to... Do the folks being nominated get a say in this? Yes. The folks being nominated definitely get a say in this. We're not going to force anybody to be on the member board. In fact, it's written in the bylaws that the secretary contact anyone who receives that 10% and say, hey, you've been nominated. You got 10% of the vote. Do you want to serve? So we're not going to force anybody to serve that doesn't want to be on the board. So So once people are placed on the ballot, then that ballot will go out on June the 20th, and you will have until it'll go out like in survey form and say, which of these three people, you have three votes, which of these three people do you want to be the three new member board trustees? That survey goes out on June 20th, and voting ends on July the 6th. On June 28th at 8 p.m., we will have a special meeting for people to meet the nominees to help them make the decision as to who they want to vote for. Heck no. listen, I got to tell you guys, go nominate yourselves. Listen, this board is a great place to be. We have a great time. It's a lot of fun to be in the know, you know, to know what's coming next, to help decide what this whole thing looks like. We are still a young organization. I'm thrilled to see that we're nearly 500 members here, but we're still a very young organization, and as such, you know, there's still a lot to be done. We've written the vast majority of our policies. Yeah, but there's still a lot of work to be done, and it's fun work too, you know, and it keeps you on purpose. I mean, that's what I love about being with this organization and doing the teaching that I do. It keeps me on purpose, in focus, on point, and yeah, it keeps me where I need to be. So so consider nominating a friend who's a member, who's a charter member. Consider nominating yourself. Go do it, and you know, you'll certainly be considered when we're looking at who we want to put on the ballot. Wow, 200 to over 500. Wow, yeah, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. Okay, so let me see what else I want to. I also want to tell you that once we determine who the nominees are, we will send their photos and bios to all members via email so you can make a decision. Okay. Are there any questions about the election process? Like I say, it looked good on paper, and once I got into it, it sounded kind of convoluted, so I'm happy to clear up any misunderstandings, answer any questions anybody might have. Okay. All right. So let's go on to the next item. The next item on the agenda is the Retreat Center campaign. As most of you, how much time is needed? Sounds like the Academy Awards. I don't know what says. Sounds like the Academy Awards. Let's see. Okay, how much time is needed for the job? Oh, okay, that's a good question. You know, it's one of those things where you're involved as you want to be. You know, if you want to serve on a committee and take on some extra work, you can do that. Otherwise, you know, you're meeting twice a month, like I said, for 90 minutes, twice a month. We all take things back to do with us, you know, so-and-so will work on this policy. Regina and I have been doing a lot of the policy writing together. Jay, of course, Jay McCormick is our webmaster, and he has the webmaster subcommittee, and by the way, on the subcommittees, the board subcommittees, you do not have to be a trustee to be on a subcommittee. You can be invited to be on a subcommittee even without being on the board. So, you know, it's one of those things where you can be as involved as you want to be. But you know, the more people we have on the board, I think the easier the job is for everybody. Um, what's expected of the person doing this job. It's, again, it's whatever needs to be done. You know, somebody will have an idea like, you know, well, let's have a gathering. Well, let's talk about the gathering and is the, you know, so let's investigate retreat centers and where does this person we want to lead this retreat or this gathering, where would they like to do it? And okay, so and so, you call these retreat centers and see, you know, what the best deal is you can get from them, and you know, it's that type of work. It's not like a 30-hour a week job. It's just little tasks that when everybody does their part and combines their energy, it really doesn't take a lot of work, and we really get a lot done. A lot of rules. Well, well, I don't know if that's the case or not, but I know that I have been truly blessed by being a member. And continue to be so. So I encourage you all to go there and no cookies. Yeah, I get lots of cookies. They're just not the physical kind. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the retreat center. As most of you know, Regina received guidance that we should have a retreat center. Maybe that cuts down on some of the work that I was talking about a while ago, trying to find an appropriate place. Plus, you know, just to have a place where people, you know, there's a lot of people who still go and work their 9-to-5 jobs every day and really need that place to get away and to get away and be with like-minded people. And so that's the concept behind the retreat center. Our retreat center campaign has currently raised nearly $22,000. Well, that was the amount before Regina left for China. That's the amount that she gave me, but she will update that. Oh, there it is. Barb, $19,000. Regina told me it was nearly $22,000. So. Okay, $19,812.12 to be exact. And again, Regina received this guidance, and she also received guidance that this would be, oh, okay. We haven't received the transfer yet from the board of directors. Very good. So the guidance was that the retreat center would be located in or around Pueblo, Colorado. Lynn has posted the link to donate for the retreat center. You can also go to the Awakening Together site and Barb or Lynn, can you put up the link to the Watch the Pueblo properties? Let's see, that's at Donate Retreat Center Watch Pueblo Properties, that extension. And these are just sample properties. And I say sample because, you know, we might find a property on here. These are links from, you know, from real estate websites. And we might very well find one of these properties on here and pick one and end up that property being our retreat center. And so we encourage you guys to go and see what the vision is. Because part of the idea behind this is our strategy for acquiring the retreat center. And that is that we're trusting the universe to provide it. To provide the retreat center, because it feels like, it felt like to Regina, and it feels like to us that the universe has provided the request for the retreat center, and now we're trusting that the universe will also fulfill its own request. So what we're doing, our part in this, is to hold the vision of the retreat center in our hearts. So we're all being, thank you for putting up that link, Lynn. We're all being called on to hold the vision of the retreat center. We're all being called on to donate what we feel we can donate. If you can't donate anything, don't donate anything. You know, nobody's asking you to go beyond your means. But if you feel to donate, then we will accept your donation. We will accept your donation, and we will put this towards the retreat center, towards this place where we can join. Okay, don't donate 1 cent, but I love you all too. I think that if we each give what we can give, that this retreat center will become a reality. And I just think it just holds amazing potential for us to be able to get together, to have this place where we can be together in person and just be together with like-minded folks. Lynn has listed a creative ways to donate. Barb has reminded us that if man, you guys are a tough crowd. Barb has reminded us that if we send in a check and you want that check to be specifically, that donation to be specifically for the retreat center, then you should put that on the memo line of your check. Robbie has really given us a hard time here tonight. Mediocrity creeps in, right? I hope that that is not what we will find. Yeah. Well, and we appreciate, you know, it's all service. Whether it's in Alex is saying my donations come in the form of service to my brothers here. That's what we're all doing here. That's what I'm doing here. That's what you're doing here, Alex. That's what Robbie's doing here. And we appreciate, we appreciate any money that you spend on Amazon and do it through Amazon Smile. Yeah. Okay, well, okay. So, sorry about the silence. I'm trying to keep up with the board. I'm not sure that's very, very helpful sometimes. Yeah, thank you. We're going to go in just a minute to talk about the fall retreat. But before we do that, let me just see if I have covered everything here on the retreat center campaign. Yeah, and listen, I want to be clear about this, that, you know, this retreat center thing, we're not trying to force anything to happen. We do have current funds in the budget for the retreat center. The board is donating a certain portion of designated funds for the retreat center. Members are contributing towards that, but we're not trying to force anything. We're just being open to do whatever we're asked to do, whatever is part of the natural flow for this thing. If we have a retreat center, wonderful. If we don't have a retreat center, wonderful. We will assume that we are in the flow. We're doing what we're supposed to do to be in service to the universe, to our brothers, as we go along here. So that's really what this is all about. Okay. So the next item on the agenda. Does anybody have a question about the retreat center? Okay. The next item on the agenda is the fall retreat in Colorado Springs. I was all prepared to tell you all about the retreat, but Lynn, sweetheart that she is, Lynn Johnson, recorded the whole thing for us. Lynn has gone off to do her oneness blessing ceremony. I think she's graduating from her as a oneness blesser. But at any rate, she's gone off to do that. She has recorded this for us. We're going to be hearing from Jan Frazier and from Bentinho Massaro, both of who will be at the retreat. Regina Dawn Akers will also be there, but I'm going to turn this over to Alex, and he is going to play the recording that Lynn made. And if you have any questions, feel free to type, as Lynn tells us about it, feel free to type it in. I will answer your questions to the best of my ability. If I can't do it, perhaps Barb can help, but given that I'm in charge of that fall retreat, I ought to know the answers. So I'm going to let go of the mic. Love all you guys, and thanks for sharing this with me. Okay, Alex, take it away.
All right, this fall, Awakening Together is going to be having a retreat in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It's just actually outside of Colorado Springs at a Franciscan retreat center. And our retreat is actually, 7, 8, 9 days long, okay? So it's 3 stacked retreats. The first retreat is October 30th through November 1st. It is on the weekend, and it is Jan Frazier will be our guest. And Jan Frazier, a lot of you know, I've played a lot of Jan Frazier here in the room. A lot of you have been reading Jan Frazier books your own self. So Jan Frazier, until the summer of her 50th year, Jan Frazier lived a life typical for a well-educated, middle-class American woman. A divorced mother of 2 teenagers, she was making a modest living writing and teaching writing. Following a Catholic childhood in Miami in the 1960s, she had studied English in college and graduate school. In her late 20s, longing for hills and snow, she moved to New England where she was active in the peace movement. But the inner peace she sought always eluded her. Then, in August 2003, she experienced a radical transformation of consciousness. Fear fell away from her, and she was immersed in a state of causeless joy that has never left her. While she has continued her life as a writer, teacher, and mother, she has discovered it is possible to live a richly human life free of suffering. Her wish now is to communicate the truth that within every person is a pool of calm, well-being that waits patiently to be stirred to life. Jan's books include When Fear Falls Away, which is one of the books that we've listened to here in the room quite a bit, and Regina used to teach from that book. When Fear Falls Away, The Story of a Sudden Awakening. It's her day-by-day account of the shift in consciousness and its alteration of her life. And then her newest book is called The Freedom of Being at Ease with What Is. And Kathy Smith has been reading that book in the on Sunday afternoons for us. It looks at the nature of suffering and explores ways beyond it. So, Jan Frazier is a teacher. She's been here as a song guest, and we have played her recordings here. So right now I'm going to play a little recording of some Jan Frazier teaching, and have you guys take a listen and see what you think, if you'd be interested in spending a weekend with this wonderful lady.
No, this is ongoing. So, my a family member a while ago was blindsided by her husband, who announced that he was leaving her. She thought they would always be together. And in the same month, she found out she had cancer. So, you know, it's like, bam, bam. You know. So she was sobbing one day in her bedroom. Just, you know, I mean, you can imagine how she felt. sobbing. And she just, you know, collapsed and sat down on the floor, still crying. But because the angle of her vision was such that she could suddenly see under the bed, her eyes just happened to go over there, and she saw under the bed a shoe that had been missing for a while. And all of a sudden, she wasn't noticing this happening just yet, but all of a sudden, the tears just stopped, the whole upset drained out of her, and she went, "Oh, hockey time, look at that shoe." Now, we've all had this experience. Now, the wonderful thing about this woman is she was in the moment. She was watching herself. She watched how something getting her attention, ordinary thing like a shoe, had, you could say, the power to shut her mind down. The story went away. Just for a second, she forgot her husband was leaving her and that she had cancer. Now, her husband was still leaving her and she still had cancer. But you see, when you really live your life, which is now, period, you might die in the next minute, and someday that'll be true, okay? You have to live as though it's always true. When you live as though this right now really is it, what does that mean? It means your attention, your, you know, this is not thinking. Attention and thinking are not the same thing. Your attention, it's like light. It's like being with, it's recognition, awareness. When your attention is flooding, is allowed to flood, which is what it, you could say, wants to do, that is what we're made of. We're trying to discover what we already are. It's so important that you get that. This is not about you becoming something different. As long as you think that, you'll chase it forever. It's already going on when you allow attention to feel itself and flood the everything that's in your present moment range of awareness. When you allow that to happen, you know, it's obvious when you're playing ping pong or you just came on a terrible car accident, but all the time it can be this way. In any moment when that occurs, your mind gets quiet. It just does. And even if you start thinking, if you, you know, remember the two options. One of them is to play ball with the thoughts, dance, get in there and dance with the thoughts. But the other one is to see that you are thinking, see it as a phenomenon. So even when, you know, one of those moments when you're, say, something has really got your attention, or for some reason, or you just, you know, you just come out of meditation, something happened to cause all of your awareness to flood the immediate. You're at peace. You are at peace. That's when you know what you are. Now, one of the things your attention may notice is that there has been thought going on. And it can even, you know, very often when attention comes to the fact that you've been thinking, that the thinking loses all interest in itself and stops. But sometimes it'll keep on, it'll like keep coming back, it'll like keep sneaking in the door because it didn't really get latched, you know. It keeps trying to come in and convince you to, come on, let's dance. And you can observe that happening. It's attention that's observing that. Attention is what you are. It's what you are. And you're endowed with this. It's part of our equipment. This is not something that's conferred upon you when you wake up. And so this whole thing about focusing on the future where, you know, if I can do all the right things or, you know, burn off enough karma or, you know, live enough lifetimes or, you know, God, horseshit. Somebody said yesterday, I thought, oh, good, I can say horseshit here. It's good. But, you know, you can hear somebody say this 1,000 times, but until you, and here's where again, you know, all you got is right now, until you watch how it functions in your immediate present moment awareness, till you observe it, oh yeah, look at that, how it's, you know, you'll get nowhere. So, and somebody alluded to this yesterday, one of the interesting things that happens when you get your mind off of the future in which you hope everything will finally be good, when you really get that this is all you've ever got, this ordinary, sometimes crappy moment, I'm talking about the content of it looks crappy. Once you really get that, you might lose interest in waking up. Because what is waking up going to deliver you into but just being in the present and not resisting anything? Now, one of the things that goes on with seekers, and here's where the difference between thinking and attention becomes really vivid experientially. One of the things that goes on is when people start becoming self-aware and doing self-inquiry and all that, for the longest time, and for some people forever, what you see just makes you wince. It's horrible. You know, you want to be, compassionate, and you want to have a quiet mind, and you want to be unattached, and, so you look in there, and you watch yourself, if you have the guts, in the present moment, watch how twitchy you got because somebody that you thought was your friend didn't give you the time of day.
So that was Jan Frazier, and pretty good stuff. She does have, I think that was an interesting story. I like her teaching a lot. So Jan Frazier, that's October 30th through November 1st. And then the week of starting November 1st through November 6th will be a week within with Regina Dawn Akers, and that will... be basically with Regina, and most of you know who that is, she will be just spending time with people and getting to know people, and I'm going to read what Regina is planning to do at her retreat so that you all can know that. Excuse me. She says, "I like to be spontaneous at a retreat. In my experience, what makes a retreat deeply meaningful is some type of shift or insight that stays with us beyond the retreat. As retreat leader, that's my intention for all of us. With this intention up front and without ideas about how to accomplish this purpose, the retreat takes its own course. I follow the path laid out for me in the present moment, and miracles happen. But that said, there are certain components you can probably count on. One, we will come together for teaching that will stretch us, taking us beyond our current insight or realization. Two, there will be a time for quiet reflection and contemplation, each of us going off in our direction for a period of time. Three, there will be open sharing, with each one sharing from clarity or from confusion while reaching for clarity. And four, we will also play together, enjoying in person the deep friendship that joins us at the heart. Anything could happen during our week together. If we have enough vehicles among us, we might leave the retreat grounds and visit Garden of the Gods or walk in Cheyenne Mountain Park. If there is someone present who teaches yoga, is a musician, or is inspired to lead a guided meditation, we may let that one share his or her talents with us. For me, too, much planning in advance does not let God as spontaneity speak. I like to lead a retreat by remaining open to God as spontaneity, letting it lead the way. I have a devotional heart, insightful clarity, keen intuition, and I trust all things. Somehow this formula, combined with the energy of everyone at the retreat, unfolds to make each retreat a unique experience that is perfect for everyone present." So that is what Regina has to say about her retreat, and that is the week of November 1st through the 6th, and I'm going to play a little clip from Regina now.
And the language that is used here, NNTI, as well as in A Course in Miracles, is the Son of God. And of course that language comes from the Bible. And it's interesting because in the Bible at John 3:16, there's a scripture that says something like, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever may believe in him may have eternal life. You've probably heard that scripture before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall have eternal life. So what is this only begotten Son or Son of God? Well, of course, many of us in this culture, when we first began, we had this belief maybe that it was Jesus. We maybe learned that somewhere from a Christian culture. But as we continue to study spiritual works like A Course in Miracles or the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, NTI, we came to see that the Son of God is what we all are. In fact, A Course in Miracles sometimes calls it a sonship. It's what we all are. But there's still the question for some people, maybe, what is this Son of God? What is this only begotten Son? The only begotten Son of God. What is that? Since we started Awakening Together, I have branched out. And in the spirit of Awakening Together, I have been studying other spiritualities that I never really paid attention to before, such as the Bhagavad Gita, the Tao Te Ching, Buddhism, most recently Kabbalah, also Sufism. And there are some things that are actually becoming more clear as I contemplate these other spiritual works. And one of the things that is becoming more clear is what this Son of God is, this only begotten Son. I've kind of made up my own language because you have to make up a language to talk about things that are beyond words. So I'm going to use my language now. It's not the language of any of the religions or spiritualities that I've studied. But there is something that I call the first principle, and you could give that a capital F and a capital P. That first principle is beyond anything that can be said or talked about or thought about. We can't comprehend it at all with the mind. And it has many different names. But we could call it unmanifest life or unmanifest isness. Sometimes it's referred to as the darkness or the mystery. It's a presence that was there before any presence. And it appears this unmanifest isness, unmanifest presence, directly created only one thing. And that is what we could call awareness. So prior to this creation, there was no ability to even be aware of itself. But then awareness is created. And awareness is the only begotten Son. The Son of God, what we all are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, pure awareness, that whoever shall believe in him shall have everlasting life, shall know the everlasting life of pure awareness. Beyond personality, beyond mind, beyond form. Everything comes and goes and changes within it, awareness. So awareness is the only begotten Son. Awareness is the Son of God. God then being the unmanifest mystery, the darkness, as the Tao calls it.
So that was Regina, and I thought that was really pretty interesting and pretty good from Ephesians she was reading. From NTI was where that came from. So that's the Weekend Within with Regina Dawn Akers, November 1st through the 6th. And then starting November 6th, which is a Friday, through November 8th, is Bentinho Massaro, A Weekend Beyond with Bentinho Massaro. And Bentinho is a very young guy. I'm going to go ahead and read something from his bio to let you know who he is. Even as a child growing up in Holland, Bentinho Massaro had a sense of the endless possibilities within human consciousness. At age 16, frustrated with what he perceived as the unconscious behavior of human society and the stupidity of going to school, he made a conscious commitment to search for the quote-unquote ultimate answer, an understanding of the actual workings of life that would lead not only to individual fulfillment, but to the liberation of civilization from conflict entirely. So he began a relentless quest, exploring a wide spectrum of teachers, philosophies, and methods, including studies in India, as well as Western practices such as neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, emotional freedom techniques, which is EFT, telekinesis, and brainwave practices. He stayed with each practice only long enough to assess and digest what was useful to his goal, leaving behind everything he deemed non-essential. Eventually exhausted by constant striving, self-judgment, and intense suffering, he realized that all of the spiritual quote-unquote authorities he had studied, no matter how long their beards, were no more quote-unquote enlightened than himself. Although deeply disappointed, he decided to renew his commitment to seeking the ultimate answer. But this time, he would look only within his own being. This decision was a profound shift in allegiance toward what he had known all along, that truth was to be found in the presence of his own existence and of existence itself in all its endless possibilities. This realization brought a deep relaxation and ease of being. Life revealed itself to shine fully and completely by its own power alone, offering its presence with an incredible naturalness requiring no effort, Bentinho wrote. Life itself was indeed the ultimate answer. Bentinho started teaching when he was 18 and has since held meetings and retreats in many cities in Europe and North America. He is now 26, and over the years, his teachings have evolved and deepened. He continues to refine and focus his work with a goal to reach people from every walk of life, building a bridge to enlightenment and self-empowerment for the quote-unquote average Joe, not just those already in the spiritual community. It's what I live for, he says. It's what I came here for. And so that is Bentinho Massaro, and I'm going to play a little clip of Bentinho's teaching as well. So here we go, switching over to the other computer.
Let's have a look at the word source. That's enough. Source implies the very teaching of beyondness. The word source, when looked at, implies the very thing that right now I'm sharing with you. Does anybody know what I mean by that? The word source, the very definition of what source means, what the word source means, what it implies, is itself the pointer through which we can intuit infinity. The word source means that it's not whatever you see, but that it's the source of whatever you see. The very word source implies that you can never find it, for whatever you find is not it. It's the source of whatever is experienceable. So simply ask yourself, what is the source of my present experience? Imagine, if you will, infinity, an infinite vastness of, we could say empty space, even that doesn't really do it justice, but we could say an infinite vastness of empty space. Empty, not filled with stars, more infinite, beyond all the stars. Vast. Whatever your imagination of that word infinity is, works for you. Trust that imagination as it comes to you. Use that imagination of vastness, of infinity, of what's beyond the universe, the space which holds even the presence of space. Infinity, more formless than the formlessness of space. Space is but one spark of its options. That's the source of all that you can ever experience. Now, anything you ever experience has a form, has a shape, has a size, has properties. Even presence itself has the property of being. It has the property of isness. What is the source of isness? Remind yourself of source, of the idea that whatever you're experiencing right now has a source. And the moment that you keep that in mind, in a sense, the moment that becomes part of your conscious remembrance, it doesn't really matter what state you're in, it doesn't really matter what experience you're having. If you simply remember, induce the memory again and again of a source beyond your present experience, that there is an infinity, a nothingness, out of which your present experience arose. The moment you have that in, for lack of a better word, mind, or in consciousness, the moment you have that in mind, that symbology, that analogy, that idea, that imagination of a source to what is, you will find a different energy opens up in you. A sense of being beyond the world, being beyond experiences. That's the black hole that starts to form itself. That starts to create a portal of intuition. A channel between everythingness and infinity. Between essence and source. There's a difference between the word essence and the word source. Essence refers to the essence of what is. In other words, essence itself, isness itself, creation itself, presence itself. Most notice when you simply recognize that right now you are aware of this moment, and there's a sense of aliveness, a sense of present awareness, a sense of present existence. That is the essence of all forms. But it's not the source of all forms. This essence itself is but one point, one speck of dust floating, dancing in the vastness of infinity.
That was Antonio Massaro, and he will be the speaker at our weekend retreat. That is the weekend of November 6th through November 8th. And so if you could attend one, two, or all three of these particular retreats, You can attend the one that's with Jan Frazier. You can attend the one that's with Regina. You can attend the one with Bentinho, or you can attend one, two, or all three, any one. So a single rate, a private room for the weekend being with Jan Frazier is $550 per person. This rate includes six meals, your own room, and the retreat. For a shared rate with two in the room, it's $395 per person. This rate includes six meals, shared room, with two twin beds, and the retreat. And we can match you up with a roommate if you don't already have one. There's always people who are looking for roommates. Commuter rate, if you happen to live in the area and you just want to drive in, with no sleeping accommodations, is $295 per person. And this includes four meals. Breakfast is not included in the commuter rate either. So we can you can just go and go to the retreat and have your meals. The nearby hotels include the Hampton Inn, Central Air Force Academy, Best Western, Peak Vista, and Embassy Suites in Colorado Springs. So all those are available. Saturday only with no sleeping accommodations is $150 per person. This rate includes lunch and dinner on Saturday, October 31st, and all retreat activities for that day. Now, for all a week within with Regina, the single rate for a private room is $750 per person, and this rate also includes 15 meals and your own room and the retreat. Shared rate, if you have a roommate, is $625 per person, and this rate includes 15 meals, shared room with two twin beds, and the retreat. And we can match you with a roommate if you don't already have one. And then commuter rate, which it would be just if you lived in the area, $425 per person, and this rate includes 10 meals. And then a weekend being with Bentinho Massaro, single rate, if you want a single room, is $550 per person. Shared rate with all meals and two per room is $395 per person. Commuter rate is $295 per person. Lunches and dinners are included. Saturday only is $150 per person, lunch and dinner included. For more info and to register, visit the 2015 Fall Retreat in Colorado Springs under the events menu at theawakeningtogether.org. So please consider joining us for one of our retreats this fall. That's either Jan Frazier, Regina Dawn Akers, Bentinho Massaro, one, two, or all three of those. You're welcome to go to our website.
I will share this room with you. This is why my eyes are closed. It's just as well for all I've seen. And so it goes, and so it goes. And you're the only one who knows. So I would choose to be with you. If the choice were mine to make, but you can make decisions too, and you can have this heart to break.
Hi guys, thanks Alex for playing that. Lynn, I know it's not here, but thank you, Lynn, in your absence for recording that. This has been a most interesting meeting. I appreciate your time and attention. I really do want to I really do want to thank you guys for being here and for supporting Awakening Together in that way. And for everything that you do. I also want to encourage you to take part in that election process. That was the important piece of this for me tonight. I hope that I have been clear about that. If you still have questions about that, you can send your questions about the elections process. You can send those questions to regina.awakeningtogether@gmail.com. And I look forward to seeing you guys again soon. Thank you for your time. Bye.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you. And thank you. A big shout out to Alex for all his help. Thank you so much. We have some free time. So, Alex, do you want to play one more song while I get my thoughts together?
vision. I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of the brotherhood of man, or whatever that means. Into a crisis.
We are One Republic, coming to you from All Saints, and this is our song, Counting Stars.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Counting stars. start.
Reception. glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a fortune's man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you might find.